Think about true religion today, right? So often in Vermont, New Hampshire, I talk to people who say, "I ain't religious." They might maybe get the re part in there, it's just religious. Or they say often if they came in, the church walls would fall in. And I need to take a picture of the structure in here so I can convince them that they wouldn't. You know, we have these great cross ties and nice beams and whatnot. But what people often get a misconception about what religion is and what faith is, and today we're looking a little bit at what God calls us to do as people who claim to follow Him, to be able to actually meet the needs of others. The Archbishop of the Anglican Church of North America, now there's a title, okay? Right? He's actually a very humble, unassuming man who rides a Harley. I like to call him Sermonator. bad jokes now. He opened up a provisional council meeting, which is a meeting with all of the leaders of the church together, with a challenge for the church to pray a simple prayer. And that prayer is, "Lord, open my eyes to see the hurt and the pain in the people around me." Not a big flowery prayer, right? For an Anglican archbishop who wears all the get-up and the hat and the staff and all that, right? A very simple prayer. Because what the Lord calls us to do is pretty simple. "Lord, open my eyes to see the hurt and the pain in the people around me." But he said it with a warning. He said, "Don't pray this unless you are willing to be compassionate and ready to care." What I've seen of this church, of this body of believers, is a group of people who are compassionate and who are ready to care and who do reach out in amazing and wonderful ways. So these scriptures continue to give us these instructions for holy living. You might remember, or maybe you don't remember, a couple weeks ago I talked a little bit about how God doesn't necessarily call us to live a good life, He calls us to live a holy life. And if we live a holy life, we will be good because we will be following the Lord. But if we try to live a good life, it's pretty easy to kind of have that not work out so well when we try to do it on our own. So faith in action. You can probably think of a lot of different phrases. Putting your money where your mouth is. Let your walk match your talk. Right? Actions speak louder than words. You know, what if someone comes to you and tells you that they're hungry and you say, "Go away, be filled, be blessed." But you haven't given them any food. Whoop-de-doo, right?
Great.
What good was that? But they'll never talk to a Christian about their needs again. Okay? Right? You gotta match it up. And so, when we heard with the youth this morning, the true religion is this, for those orphans, for those orphans, those in our community that really need help. You know, there's a friend of mine, his name is Brian Bywater, he's an Anglican clergyman, and he used to be a pastor of a church, but God called him out of that and into ministry with people who don't go to a church like this. He lives down near Hartford, Connecticut, and he does a ministry with the homeless down there in a couple of different parks. And they started out by giving out socks and soup. And it started with, you know, 15, 20 people, something like that, that were coming and being served by two or three. And in about 6 months to a year now, the ministry has grown to where they serve over 250 people each Saturday. And they do it no matter the weather, no matter what's going on. These folks have come to rely on this. And Brian is also part of the Salvation Army Church. And as part of this ministry, you know, they hand out things that people that don't have a home go through a lot of, and that's underwear. Okay, so churches actually end up supporting his ministry by sending lots and lots of underwear and socks and bras and you name it. And so he now has a label on his shirt that says Captain Underwear. And the people in town have gotten to know him as such. But the interesting thing about their ministry is that they don't just give for the sake of giving people something. they give and they try to have a relationship with the people. You know, so often when people try to give to those that are less fortunate or those that are living a different kind of life like that, there's this wall that even though you're handing them something, there's never going to be a relationship as of equals. You are giving to them. And it can almost even feel condescending sometimes to people. And so they try really hard to connect up their faith in Jesus Christ with what they're doing. Okay? So it's a really good thing to do, to be able to do that. There's another action going on in Greenfield, Mass. That Karen Scala talked about called Cathedral in the Night. That's bringing meals and worship to marginalized people on the fringe, the homeless. And we're interested in helping with that once or twice so that we can learn how they do it. You know that there are homeless people in Windsor? There's homeless people in Stepney, in Wethersfield, probably in West Windsor. Yeah. Lots of homeless in Springfield. We don't have to travel to Greenfield or Hartford, Connecticut to find these folks around here. And so we don't see them so much, but they're around. You know, there's a restaurant over in Claremont, New Hampshire that collects food donations and things. And they hand it out to the homeless community there. There's actually a tent city in Claremont that not too many people know its location because it's illegal to feed homeless people. And so these people are able to come and be fed. But it's important to feed people and to meet their needs in the name of Christ. Because we have received so much. It's out of our abundance and out of our thankfulness for what God has done for us that we then in turn try to reach out to those in the community that need it. You know, if you look at what Jesus did in Scripture, okay, every time that someone came in for healing, whether it was a physical need that they had or emotional healing or spiritual healing, he forgave their sin. He looked at the whole person. He knew that people, their biggest need in front of their eyes was maybe the fact that they were crippled or that they were blind or that they were hurt. But even the bigger need than that was their spiritual need. And so quite often he would say, your faith has made you well, rise and walk, that you may know, you know, the Son of God has the power to forgive sins. He would heal them. And he was interested in healing the whole person. And so that's the kind of model that we have when we look at helping others. We don't want to just hand them a loaf of bread. We want to hand them the true bread that's come down from heaven. That if they eat of it, they'll never be hungry. If they drink of that water, they'll never be thirsty again. So, we're going back to school, right? Kids and some teachers are not real thrilled about that. Some teachers really look forward to it. I always have mixed feelings about it. I find that the last few days of summer before I have to go back to school to teach, I am kind of dread going back. But once I get there, I'm happy I'm there. If that makes any sense. Okay. So, one of the first things that I remember learning in college when I was looking at teaching was something called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. You ever hear that? Maybe? Okay, all right. So it's kind of this this pyramid of needs, which at the very bottom of it are psychological needs. Okay, so these are like some of the very basic needs, the needs to have food and clothing and shelter. Need to feel safe is the next level up on the pyramid. Then the next one up is love and belonging. And then the next one up, near top, is esteem, self-esteem. And then at the very peak of the pyramid, the very peak, the thing that's unattainable without all of these other things in place, is self-actualization. So, what I'd like to submit to you that at the peak of that pyramid shouldn't be self-actualization. It should be the actualization of God in our lives. His power to change us. You know, putting self-actualization at the top kind of puts us in the place of God. It makes man God. It makes the fulfillment of ourselves the highest order and the highest goal. But what really ought to be the highest order and the highest goal is our Creator's work and His hand in us, doing what we could not do in our own strength. So this is his proof that he loves us, that he wants relationship with us. It's the proof that he wants to fill the emptiness in our lives. You know, we have hunger. We have a need for shelter. And if you're hungry and you're cold, you might not be too interested in going to church or hearing about Jesus. But if someone hands you a meal and says, and you know what, you're going to be hungry after you eat this. But if you come and you learn what I've learned, and you find what I've found, it's going to change your life. Then they might. Sometimes people talk about this God-shaped hole in them. You know, sometimes when we look at budgets in Christian organizations, we often see where we need to be and where we actually are. And we describe that as the God-shaped hole in your budget that he needs to fill. And sometimes it's good to have that because it keeps us relying on him and having faith that he's going to meet the need. And sometimes people describe that they have this God-shaped hole in their lives, that they've tried to fill it with everything else. They've tried to fill it with whatever they can, only to find out that nothing works, nothing matches until they find God in Christ. So this is why we were created and why we were put on this earth, that God might be able to be at the peak of the pyramid in our lives, that he might be able to come and to fill us and to help us achieve everything that he created us to be. In Scripture, when Jesus came, you know, he healed physically, right? We see that all over the place. He healed emotionally, and he healed spiritually. He forgave sin. He was really interested in the whole person. And if you look at it this way, think about the worst thing about yourself that nobody here knows. Ooh, you always kind of shudder a little. Okay, so God knows that about you. And even though he knows that about you, he still loves you, and he still wants relationship with you. His interest in you is not conditional upon how good you make yourself. It's conditional upon if you let him come in and be with you and forgive your sin and deliver you from all of that stuff. So he knows us fully. He knows all the deepest, darkest parts, all the stuff about me that if you knew, you wouldn't want me as your pastor. Okay? And yet Jesus still loves me. And it's the same for you. So how about this? You ever stand in the middle of the night in front of your open refrigerator doors? Ever done that? I don't know. I do that from time to time now. Man, I want something. I don't know what I want. It's not the cold chicken wings. It's not the pizza. Is it a glass of milk? Nope, that didn't do it. You stand there and you don't know what you want. You're trying to figure it out. And it's just you with a light refrigerator in your dark kitchen. And sometimes we live life like that. You know, we stand there with the refrigerator door open, looking at life and everything that's on all the shelves there. And we try it all, and nothing satisfies us. Maybe some things might taste good, looks good, yep, this is good, that's good, but it's still not satisfied. You know? It's like a supercar craving, only it can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ in our lives. There's a story in John that I want to read really briefly to you. It's from chapter 4. And it talks about a woman who met Jesus. She was there to try to draw some water out of a well. And she didn't know Jesus all that well. And he was there at the well. And when she got there, you know, he said to her, draw me up some water out of the well. And they have this whole conversation. Jesus strikes up. And this woman has a past. She has stuff that's going on in her life that she is not really happy about, that she's embarrassed by, that it's happened. And Jesus, being Jesus, knows it. But she doesn't know it yet. And they have this lovely conversation. So the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself? Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water anymore." So Jesus wasn't talking about like Powerade, super water. He was talking about the gift of himself, the gift of forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life for that person that he created and that he loved. So I want to ask you, where do we thirst in our lives and never find it satisfied? Where are we hurt? Where have we been crippled? Where has life left us bruised and broken and shattered? Where are we in prison? What holds us? What chains bind us in our lives? God calls us to go out and to care for all those that are hurt, that are crippled, that are bruised and broken and shattered, that are in prison. He wants to heal us before he sends us out. So Jesus has come to us. He wants to satisfy us. He wants to heal us. He wants to free us and forgive us so that we might have this relationship with him and then carry that gift forward to those around us. He's the only thing that lasts. He's the true bread. He's the living water. And if you receive him and if you trust in him with your soul and your life, you will have finally found that which you were standing in front of the open refrigerator door wondering what it was. It is. So, in a minute, I'm going to close in prayer. And if these things that we've talked about have struck something in you, that's not you. That's God's Spirit saying, pay attention. This is the stirring of the Holy Spirit in your heart saying, you need this. Listen up. Sometimes there are moments in life that if we don't have the courage to reach into them, they pass us by. So don't let this pass by for you today. So if you want to, I just want to invite you to pray along with me in your heart, to ask God for healing, to ask him for forgiveness, to invite him into your life, and to fill you in all ways that you need to be filled and have not been. So let's pray. God, thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for speaking to my heart. God, you know my life. You know the things that have happened to me and the things that I've done. Please forgive me for the ways I have not walked with you. Please heal me from the hurt that I have sustained. Please set me free from the things that hold me and I can't seem to get away from. Forgive me for always trying to do things my way and not yours. Jesus, please come into my life and fill me. I commit my way and my remaining years to follow you. Thank you for loving me. And I make this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'll leave you with this last thought. St. Francis of Assisi, you know who he is? Right? Right? The guy with the animals, right? So, he said, we have been called to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. This is the nature of Jesus. This is what he does for us. And this is what he calls us to help do with others. Whenever I have a big project in front of me, and I can't seem to figure out how to get started, I have to pick the low-hanging fruit. Okay, something that I can have quick, easy success with. In renovating a house, it's like, what am I going to do first? This whole thing is here. I'll replace this door. Okay, forget about the rest of it. So, bringing the kingdom of God to the world is a big job. But each one of you has low-hanging fruit right in front of you someplace. You all know of someone. Someone who is hurting, someone who is hungry, someone who has a need. So build a relationship. Meet their need. Introduce someone to Jesus. Your remember the prayer of the Archbishop, Lord, open my eyes to see the hurt and the pain in the people around me.